Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how's this beautiful weather?
Beautiful.
Yeah. We know spring is close to us now. So I think we're through with all the ice and the snow. And we had a little bit of rain this week, but we had a beautiful week. And today's a beautiful day. Good to have each of you here this morning, the ones that's online with us this morning. We're glad to have you. And we just ask that you join in the service. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, if you would, you have a Connect card in the pew in front of you. If you would take that out and just, you can fill it out and leave it sitting in the pew and we'll pick that up. It's good to have each of you here this morning. And I've got a couple of announcements. We've got a praise this morning. With the shoe boxes, they had been discontinued, locked out of Africa, and now they've opened that back up. So this year for the shoe boxes for the Christmas, that we'll be able to ship those back to Africa. And I think that's where a lot of ours have been going to previously. So just keep that in mind. Also, we've got a letter from Lisa Freeman. Some of you may remember this lady. It's the grandmother of the three kids that had their home had burned a while back. And they had three kids, and she had sent this lady just thanking the church. I want to read. She says, "I want to thank you with all my heart for everything you have done for my family. I have no words to express how wonderful I am. You are and your church have been such a blessing to my family. The clothes and money donations for the church have been a complete blessing." So she just wanted everybody, and that was Miss Freeman. And I think the kids is Lisa, Trey, Lakeland, River, and also the grandmother's son, the dad of these kids, was in the oil field, and I think he's lost his job since all this comes on. But anyway, she just wanted to say thank us for the donations and for the clothes that was taken up for them. If you're giving this morning, you can go to Cypress Street Church /give. You can also leave your offering in the box back in the back, or turn it in to one of us this morning. We just thank the people for the offering and for everything. We've had it's been a year now that we've been going through this virus, and we just thank everybody for the donations and for keeping the church, everything going with it. Also, next Sunday is daylight savings time. That'll be changing, so set your clocks forward. I guess that means we miss an hour, but not really, because, but anyway. We have Pastor Ray with us this morning, but I'm going to read from Psalm 66. And it is good to have each of you here this morning. "Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for keeping your hand on us, watching over us, and we just ask that you be with us this morning in this service, Lord. Thank you for the love that you have for each of us, and we just ask that you bless this day for each of us, Lord. Ask us in your name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Continue our worship by singing, "Great Are You, Lord." We'll sing through twice. Arms. This is one I remember growing up in church singing.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting.
Leaning, 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 safe and secure.
rest at peace with my Lord so dear, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting.
Standing, and we're going to sing the next song is Our God is Lifted Up. Our God is lifted up amidst the shouts of joy. Our God is lifted up in the sounding of the trumpets. Our God is lifted up amidst the shouts of joy. Shout joyfully unto our God. Let's sing together.
When we get to that shout, I want to hear some shouts, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Is lifted up with the shouts of joy. Our God is lifted up in the sounding of the trumpets. Our God is lifted up with the shouts of joy. Shout joyfully unto our God. Shout joyfully unto our God. Our God is lifted up with the shouts of joy. Our God is lifted up in the sounding of the trumpets. Our God is lifted up with the shouts of joy. Shout joyfully unto our God. Shout joyfully unto our God. Let the trumpets make a joyful noise. Let us clap our hands and praise our God. Lifted up, our God is lifted up on high. Let the trumpets make a joyful noise. Let us clap our hands and praise our God. For our God is lifted up, our God is lifted up, our God is lifted up on high.
Now, if y'all not ready to shout and have church after that, it's time for us to go home.
You may be seated, and our children can go to children's church.
Well, it is good to have each of you here this morning again. And we've got a few prayer requests. If some of you, I think there were a few that made the wedding yesterday to Reuben and Hannah. And thank God for a beautiful day. No rain, and it was beautiful out there. And they really had a nice wedding. And the families, they appreciate the ones that was able to attend to be there. And we just ask that you pray for them. They've gone on their honeymoon, leaving today. So just pray for them this week that they'll have a safe week this week. Also, Shirley Mahar, she's been having some trouble with bronchitis, I think, and she is a little bit better this morning, but continue to be praying for her. She hopes to be back in the next week or so. Also, Sherry Easternly, Pat Eads, the coronavirus, our country and our leaders. And just remember to pray for our shut-ins that each week. If you have a prayer request and you're online, or you can either contact Karen Odom, and that has the phone number to contact her is 575-644-8667 for the ones that's online this morning. You can, any prayer requests that you have, you can contact her. We're glad each of you are here this morning, and Brother Ray Owens, he's got the message today, so we asked you to come and bring what's on your heart, Brother Ray.
good to be in the house of the Lord and with you guys today. Beautiful day, is it not? And great worship. And you guys at home that are watching this, I know it was good, but it wasn't as good as being here live and to hear it personally. I promise you that. It's amazing how I shared it at my mom's service. She loved worship, and she was a worshiper, but she couldn't sing a tune in the bucket. I'm just telling you. She just loved it, and then sometimes as we get older, believe it or not, you get older, some things change. I shouldn't say this on the internet, but at one time, I actually won a solo at state competition singing, and that was when I was a soprano. And it reminds me of the Vieta Boys Choir. But anyway, I grew up and soprano long went, and now I'm somewhere in the uno or uh-oh or whatever range. But I will tell you what, though, in a shower, I can rock it. I'm just telling you, and I bet you can too, okay? And I can even see you smiling at home, guys. I want to say a couple things this morning. Sincere thanks to my Cypress Street family, each and every one of you. You guys, man, you love me. You prayed for me. You prayed for our family, the words, the gifts, the attendance, everything that all of you did in the passing of my mom. Was awesome. I know where she is. It's good. I got to go to mom and dad's, you know, and I've got to try to change that. I got to go to dad's now, you know. There's some changes, but I know where she is, and just especially pray for my dad with cognitive delays. It's tough. He keeps looking for her and all the struggles with that, so pray for him on that. But today is a day that the Lord has given, and I'm excited about today's message this morning, and I just believe we're going to be touched, encouraged by His Word. Now, about a month ago, when I was able to share with you, I told you, if you remember, only those that were here can consider themselves gifted, because if you remember, as a psychologist and a minister, I gave you the diagnosis of gifted. If you weren't here, you're not gifted. I'm sorry. But we gave it out that day in a scripture. So today what I want to give you a couple things is that, number one, you are unconditionally loved. And there's tons of people that never experienced love, and there's very few that experience unconditional love. But here's what I want to say. If you're here today or at home, you are unconditionally loved. And here's the scripture in Romans 8, okay? You really shouldn't have any issues when you go out that door, because you're loved, okay? It says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation, that's a lot of stuff, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we need to remember that. Nothing can separate. I don't care if you mess up. Fess up's good. But doesn't matter. God loves you, so you're unconditionally loved. And another thing I thought was kind of cool is I want you to know you're a delight to the Lord. You're a delight to the Lord. He doesn't just love you, and which is involving action and feeling. I believe God feels toward us. I believe He definitely does. We're created in His image. We have all of those things, mind, body, you know, the cognitive ability, the feeling, all of the things that we have, creativity, everything that comes from God. But you're a delight to the Lord. In Psalms 149:4, for the Lord takes delight in His people. In other words, I believe God is smiling on us, whether you're in the booth or up here or anywhere in between or back working, God is smiling on us today because He has delight in us. So when He thinks of a Kathy, He goes, yeah. When He thinks of, you know, whatever, he delights in us. And I think sometimes we forget that. So those are the deals of the day. You consider yourself delightfully, unconditionally loved this morning, okay? So now I can step on our toes, right? How many of you remember and are old enough or have seen the old movie, Oh God? Actually, there's four or five of them. Yeah, two of us. Okay. Well, anyway, there's a movie, Oh God, and the singer that actually had a little influence in my life way back in the day. John Denver plays as a supermarket manager, and George Burns, the old actor, played the part of God. But really what I want to talk about that is The supermarket manager one day gets a note and says, you've been granted an interview with God. And that's where I want to start. So what would you do if suddenly you had a note, or as a later movie about God had, prayer requests suddenly started coming up in post-it notes all over the house? And I don't know about you, but you wouldn't be able to find anything if all the walls, all the mirrors, everything was covered in post-it notes, you know, everywhere. And because of a prayer request. But what if you were granted an interview with God? What would you say? What would you do? What would you want to ask? I actually already have me a list, to be honest. Because I figure when we get to heaven, Carvin, all these things we want to know, we will know and be known, and we won't have to ask. We're just going to be full of glory and all that's good, and we're going to know. But on this side, I have some questions. You know, I have some questions, and I'm sure you do too. Well, brothers and sisters, here's what I want to tell you. You and I have been granted an appointment with Almighty God. And that comes at many different times, but it's every week of worship, God has granted an appointment for you and me every week when we come together. And if we do it, in fact, anytime two or three gather together, what's he promised to do? Be at the appointment. And by the way, I thought about that where two or three gather, and I really don't know if I've ever thought about this. What that means is our little lanyap here, Louisiana Extra, it actually means where two or three gather means we're supposed to gather. I don't care if it's politically correct or not, we're supposed to gather. In fact, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. When we come together, if two or three unconditionally loved people come together, we got a little love going on. If two or three people come together, one has a need and one's on cloud nine, what do? We encourage one another. We lift up. When two or three get together and there's a burden or somebody has a thought on missions or a need or something like you were talking about with Africa or Carvin might bring up, we can share that burden. We're there. It's awesome. So I thought about that. Really, if it's been a while, if it's been a year that you've been able to come to church or those at home and all that, I got it with COVID, but get those shots and get back up here. I'm just telling you, let's come on, let's get going. Especially our younger people, as that happens, let's get together. So what does it say? I'm in your midst whenever we get together. So every week, you and I have a divine appointment with God. And that's what I want to talk about. I got your outline, my outline here. Priscilla's so sweet and got that all for you. And I want to talk about that because God has given us an opportunity to meet with him here. And how would you spend your time if you met with God? I want to read a scripture, one of my favorites. It's a story, and there's so many ways to go with this, but I want to read this scripture to you. I'm going to read it out of the NLT. I pulled out the Bible Gateway version here, and I want to read it for you. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. That, by the way, is pretty phenomenal. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Now that's a superpower right there. I'm just saying. Wow. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman, but he spoke to Simon. "Look at this woman kneeling here," When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said among themselves, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let us pray. Father, as we bow our heads, I pray your Holy Spirit would anoint every heart that's here in this place and is at home right now. Or Lord, even later, if they watch it later, whenever it is, wherever they meet with you, I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would be in that midst. Nothing that I say, nothing that any of us do matters unless we meet with you and you're in the midst of it. So God, meet with us. Speak to us. Lord, for the one that needs challenge, challenge. For the one that needs encouragement, encourage. For the one that needs restoration, restore. Whatever the need is this morning, God, your presence, may we have it. And all God's people said, amen. This, to me, is many things, but it's a vivid example of what worship's supposed to be, of spending time with God. Both are at the same place in the same room. The tables weren't like what we have. You know, they're all kneeled. Jesus is at one end. The Pharisees are around. And in comes this lady, which took a lot of courage. And she does this. They're both there. And to the Pharisee, they're full of religious knowledge and Bible knowledge and head knowledge, let's put it that way, of the Word of God. And you notice that his attitude. He was distant from Jesus. He was neglectful of Jesus. These three things are normal, what you do to a guest at that time in Jerusalem, in the Israeli culture at that time. In fact, it was almost rude to not do it. He was self-assured. He took everything he had with his relationship for granted. And I believe the reason he didn't even treat Jesus that way, he was trying to really test Jesus, check Jesus out. He wasn't sure he's a prophet, but he knew he was a teacher. And of course, he had already heard how Jesus at the age of 12 confounded them in the synagogue. You see what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. They knew that Jesus was very gifted and very talented. But it was a threat, and that's what they were doing. So the Son of God himself is there, and one is distant and kind of going through the motions. Yes, he invited him in. He did ask him over to eat. He's kind of quizzing him, but it's kind of all up here. Well, what about this woman? Probably a prostitute. There's, y'all know, songs about it, and alabaster jars, and all kinds of beautiful songs about it, and stories and sermons. But notice the difference. She humbly approached Jesus. She lavished her love on Jesus. I mean, poured it all out, literally in tears, in value of the ointment and everything. She was sorrowful, repentant, you know, just pouring herself out, full of emotion, of realizing who God was. So I want to give you and I an IQ test. You know, psychologists, we love to give IQ tests, except we're going to call it SQ, spiritual quotient. Now, this is your first test. I don't know that I could say that, but there on an IQ test, one of the questions at the lower level, I believe all of you would know, is what are the colors in the American flag? So we'll help your IQ if you can't figure that one out. If they don't know that, you go back down to how many legs does a dog have? You know, you go backwards. If they know that one, you go to a little harder. And as soon as you can, you get to where there's a basal, and then you get to some tough ones, and then when they miss several in a row, that's a ceiling. So this is your chance. Of the two, the Pharisee or the woman, what kind of worshiper do you think God wants from us? The Pharisee or the prostitute? I'm telling you, if you've got any spiritual quotient, it's a no-brainer. It's the woman that bows down and pours her all before Jesus. That's a worshiper. The other is just in the presence of God. It's all cognitive. And to the one that had been forgiven a lot, guess what? There was much love. There's much emotion. And, you know, the one that thought he didn't need much forgiveness, there was little love. So when is the last time in your life? Now, some of us are older. You know, we're in the 6, 7, and 8 digits, you know, in front. Okay? I don't think we got any 100-year-olds, but, you know, some days. But here's the thing. When you think back, when's the last time that you lavished your love on God? You poured yourself out to God just to love on him, not like, you know, I'm doing in a hospital or you're doing when things are tough or you need him or 5 minutes before the test you didn't study for. Uh-huh, lots of smiles on that one, you know. Or you're going in a job interview or whatever and you're going, oh my goodness. So, or whatever it is. You know, I'm talking about when is the last time you experienced that? Now here's what I want to talk about church. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been to as many church services as probably anybody in this room. I was born in church. I was there every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, back when we used to do that, all the times. I slept on the pews during the daytime sometimes. That's where I took my naps. I really liked it when they got padded pews, I might add, as a child. And these new pew chairs are phenomenal. You know, it's just crazy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you remember. But I get it. Sometimes you come to worship, and I've heard this said, I didn't get nothing out of the preaching. Well, there's a lot of problems with that. But I want to be honest. I'm not going to jump on anybody. I would say, did you come in wanting to get something out of it? And I have come to want to get something out of it. Almost every time, I might not come in the door perfect. No one does necessarily all the time. But here's what I'm saying. I've heard some pretty terrible sermons. In fact, Carvin, you'll love this. I've actually, as much work as it is to preach and pour energy in it and the way I do it and all that, there's actually been some times I've been back there in the pew sitting somewhere around the country or maybe even my own church and I'm going, oh Lord, I'd almost rather go up and preach to myself. And that's bad. I'm just saying that's really bad because I'm like, oh, you're killing these points, man. I mean, are you going, and God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Oh, you know, I mean, I've heard some bad ones, and I've heard some canned ones. You know, it was reading it canned, you know. But here's what I'm saying. I think we missed the point. I really want to remind us, it's not that we come, I hope you come to hear something out of the Word of God, whether it is whoever's speaking. But really, to be honest, if you come to worship God and to give back, it's not like what I'm going to get out of it, but it's like I'm coming to worship God. I've got an appointment with God. That changes everything. And I'm going to tell you biblically, that's what it is. We, in our culture, have turned it around as a time for us. When I travel, I always go to church, and many times I go to mega churches, and I've had the opportunity to go to. I want to see what's going on. I want to hear, and sometimes the messages knock it out. Generally, almost always, the worship is phenomenal beyond anything. You know, you're in Andy Stanley's church at Point. You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, the people wrote songs last week. You know, they're on the, you know what I mean? Yes, I got it. But it's not about entertainment, brothers and sisters. We in America have gotten a lot of times, even in Christian, where we want to be entertained or have the coolest church or whatever's going on. And I got the humanness of that. But here's what the point of Sunday morning worship is to all of us. It's to come and be in the presence of God. He's promised to be there. Remember, 2 or 3 are gathered. You're coming to be in his presence, and you have a time to spend with God. What a neat. In other words, you do, and I do, get a letter that says, I'd like to meet with you, and it's Sunday at 10 o'clock, Cypress Street, Church of God, signed God. not a lot of people are smiling, so we'll just have to. Okay. How about this one? God should be the object of your affection. Do you believe that? Okay. Thank you. So on your outline. How can we be more like the woman and love much? How can I be overcome with love? And by the way, I wasn't planning on preaching this message. I listened to Scott's message, and he talked about he had a love message for Valentine's Day, I think it was, that Sunday. And, you know, ice and storm coming or whatever, it didn't get to happen. And anyway, and that wasn't why I did this, but I thought, well, we got to get you some love here, okay, Valentine's Day. I hope you did good, Valentine's Day guy. Number one, treat worship as a worship time as a date with God. Treat worship time as a date with God. It'll change your attitude, and it'll change my attitude about meeting to hear about God to an actual date with God is going to change things. It's going to be different. Brothers and sisters, this is God's time to meet with Him in mind, in heart, in spirit, completely. Not just mind like the Pharisees, but in heart. I am very much aware that we don't need to live by emotion. And there are groups that tend to do that. But I'll tell you, it's just as guilty and a problem if you live by just cognitive mind and knowledge. You can be the Pharisee that busts the place down below earth wide open, okay? If all it is head knowledge, it has to transform your heart, and then your mind's renewed. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Word of God has to become live in us. So it's a date. So here's my illustration for you. Dana and I celebrate our 46th wedding anniversary this year. We had our 45th planned, and we had met with some other couples, or we're going to go with some other couples, like many of you. We had trips, and we ended up, going to go on a cruise to Alaska and do all that stuff, and I was even going to splurge and take a helicopter ride up into the glaciers and ride in a sled, you know, my two-minute Adirondack thing or something, you know. But we were just gonna do that. Well, all that got canceled. The petri dishes all got shut down. The cruise ships, they all got shut down, and that's not happening. But let's just say this year's coming up. So you just want to listen to this. So it's our 46th anniversary coming up. And by the way, she was my first official date. We were friends. We weren't, you know, item. Lord, she was a somebody, and I was a young guy. And back then, she was an older woman. She was a senior and a homecoming queen and all that stuff. And, you know, but at 16, I asked her to be my first official date, and she provided welfare assistance to me and allowed that to be. So actually 50 years we've been dating somewhat more on, and of course a lot more on the last 46 years. But let's just say that I ask her out for a date. Let's say I ask her out for a date on Monday, okay? And so Dana's excited about the date. She's getting ready and doing all the stuff to get ready. She's thinking about it. She's preparing for it. She's anticipating it. She's getting ready. And let's say it's at 6:30 and we're going to go eat at a restaurant. And I come smoking in from work and my work clothes at 6:15, run up, you ready? Let's go. Jump in the car. She gets in the car. We smoke there. I get a couple important phone calls. And then we get there, and then I get a phone call and say, honey, you know what I want. You order it. I'll be right back. So I take another phone call. Then I come back, and I rush back. She's perfect. She's got the food I want all laid out, knows exactly what I need. I mean, that's awesome, okay? And I harf it down like crazy, real, real fast and everything, and then say, you ready? Let's go. And you might say, well, in fact, I'll ask you, what will Dana say to me at the end of that? What would you say to me at the end of that date, that awesome date that I planned to be there, that I was in such a hurry that I went through and everything? I mean, I'm here for her. Here's what she would say. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All the way home. And because I have some intelligence, I would realize there's a problem. It would take me a little while because I am a guy, but I'd realize there's a problem. And a lot of smiles on a lot of faces at this point. You visualize that scene with me? Unfortunately, what I just described to you is how a lot of people do every Sunday morning. Boom. Boom, home. Boom. I got it. You got kids. You rush. You go. You do. You know, you get there. You get here. Boom. And then we're in a hurry. And then some of us who are in the service at church, you know, we're doing all our stuff, you know, and trying to get it. We want it right and all that. Sometimes we forget, even as worship team, sometimes we forget to just let go and worship God. I'm not talking we start singing another song or get weird or whatever, but I'm saying let yourself go and worship. You got it? Or we really meet with God. I really want God to meet with you and me right now. I do. I don't want it to just be words. It isn't worth the drive over here and all the work and everything that goes into it. I mean, Carmen's the same way. We want to hear from God. And that's what it is. It's a date. God is here and we should hear from him. So what if we began to, as best we humanly can, we'll fall back into default, but as much as we can be reminded that every Sunday is a date with God. In Mark 12, on your outline, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord, love the Lord your God. The Lord your God is the one and only God, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." That pretty well covers love. There's not anything else. In other words, you don't love him by your presence, but not your mind and heart, like I did with Dana. You see what I'm saying? In this, by the way, this is fictional. This is fictional. With a titional on the end, okay? All right, so I don't want somebody to say, "Pastor Ray, I'm so sorry you treated your wife that bad." I mean, some of you are looking pretty much like you lost your last friend. Everything's good, okay? Notice on your outline there, I think, I need to pull this up where I can look at it. God first demonstrated love to us and desires above all else that we love him first. That's probably not the best way to say it, but there needs to be nothing else in your world, life, career, spouse, human being above God. One of the greatest things Mercy Ministries and Mercy Multiplied does to these young ladies is put in their brain this right here, pouring into them constantly so much what's already so messed up that their self-worth is not worth any, is not because what some guy thinks of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or that their dad never loved them and there's that big void there, so they do all this acting out trying to get love. God loves them and he's their Abba Father. That's what they're brainwashing the right kind of way, cleansing it and putting in this scripture. God is first in everything. God's over Dana in my life. I love my grandson. God's first. And at times I can't be with both of them and I need to be with God. I'm just being honest. That's how it is. But here's the thing. When you put God first, everything else falls right into place. It's amazing. Okay, number two. Renew your sense of awe by dwelling on God's wonder. If we're honest, sometimes we get so familiar with God, what God's about and all the knowledge and everything, particularly those of us who have degrees in it. And some of you in here have been in church all your life. And I guarantee you when the time comes that you breathe your last breath, it isn't going to really matter that how many degrees you have in theology or all that sort of stuff. What matters is the feeling and the knowledge and the assurance that you are God's and he's yours and you're accepted in his love. That's what matters at that moment. I promise you, I could quote the Bible or not quote the Bible. I can have all this understanding of eschatology, every kind of end of time thing, have it all great. It doesn't mean a thing when it gets down. It's about a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it adds power and it adds excitement. And there's awe in that, even at that moment. To the Pharisee, he was a teacher, maybe a prophet, but he decided he wasn't one. Why? At first, if he is a prophet, he could see what kind of woman she was. Well, of course, Jesus covered the prophet off and said, well, Simon, here's what you're thinking. Let me talk about that, you know. To the woman, he was the Christ, the Holy Son of God, who had forgiven her of much. And she was broken, and she was in awe of him. How many of you have ever looked up at the sky? One of the worst things we do on a clear night is we just look around and do stuff, and we never, and of course, I know we have Louisiana, we have humidity. It's not the same like if you're in third world country or in the mountains or somewhere, you know, and you look up and it's like, whoa, who turned on those extra stars, you know? When have you looked up? How many of you have seen Yellowstone, Grand Canyon? Even if it was Ray Owens' trip where, hey, look at it, you got 10 minutes and we're going to the next one. I shared that with you. But my point is, you look at the Grand Canyon and you don't see God. You look in the sky and don't see God. The same time the astronauts and the cosmonauts were circling the Earth, it was Gemini. We have to Google it, ask Rabbi Google which one it was. But there was at one point in time when cosmonauts, it's so funny, were in an orbit this way, and the astronauts, and they were going around, you know, and they were hundreds of miles apart, but, you know, and the cosmonaut, or the astronaut, and I forget if it was White or which one, said, oh my goodness, I see God everywhere. And they were, you know, it's all that, that's that cool way of Houston, you know, that deet, deet, and all that noise. I see God everywhere up here. It's gorgeous. He was in awe. And the cosmonaut, come on, I see no God. At the same time, you can look at the same thing some people do and see beauty. You can look at the other and not see it. So where's the problem? It's not the eyes. Sometimes it's not the brain, it's the heart. I got to read this to you. A.W. Tozer. In Webster, there are over 500,000 words, probably a new ones too, since A.W. wrote this. For all these words, sometimes when you're in the presence of God, nothing but an oh will say it. O-H, oh will say it. Vocabularies are formed by many minds over periods of times that are capable of experiencing whatever the mind is capable of entertaining. But when a heart on its knees moves into the awesome presence and hears with fear and wonder things that are not lawful to utter, then the mind falls flat and words, previously our faithful servants, become weak and totally incapable of telling what the heart can hear and see. In that awesome moment, the worshiper can only cry, oh. And those are probably the most sacred words that God will ever hear you utter. Oh. When's the last time I or you went, oh, God? Psalms 8:3-4, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in place, what are mortals that you should think of us, mere humans that you should care for us? Boy, the psalmist picked it, didn't he? We should be occasionally in awe of God. That is amazing. Number three, marvel at who God is by remembering who you are. Marvel at who God is by remembering who you are. That's important, remembering who you are. In this text, the Pharisee is comparing himself to the woman. He is, frankly, annoyed with the woman that she came to his party And if the Pharisee really realized who he was personally and who he was in the presence of, I think he would have changed. In other words, if he had realized he was only dust created by the Almighty God, I think he'd been falling on his knees too. Every once in a while, we need to be honest and lay aside our religiosity and realize the greatest attempt at self-righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm just telling you, there's a beautiful story about that when we're in his presence. And I thought about that, and you know, after captivity, you ought to study it sometimes. After captivity, when they come back, they had the Torah, God's word, and they had these scribes, and they had designed an ink and everything to, no printing press yet. That wasn't many, many years, 1500s, 1400s, something like that. But they would actually have scribes that would write the word of God. And I could go all through the things that they had to use clean animal skins. They had all these rules. They had so much that they had to do. And if they messed up one word, they'd start all over. The spacing had to be perfect. I mean, they were in awe of God. And when they got to the word Yahweh, sometimes they would actually have to stop, get a new pen, or even go wash their hands before they wrote the word. Now, I want you to think about that, and that's pretty excessive, and think about where we are today. Oh, man, the old man upstairs have got us a deal. He knows I believe in him, and I just don't need to go to church with them hypocrites. I mean, we got that, and then we got some that just don't have a clue. And then you see what I'm talking about? We went from this to where we are today. But the Pharisee made a fatal mistake, and we see this in media. We see it in the school. He thought that God grades on a curve. Do you know what I mean by grades on a curve? I had students always wanting me to grade on a curve. And in graduate school, you kind of can do that to a point. But, you know, if you've taught the same class a bunch of times and you know what's up, I've had classes where tremendous amount made A's. I had other classes where there weren't hardly any A's at all. And, yeah, I looked at myself and am I doing a good job? Make sure I covered the stuff. And we have ways with computer scoring to find that out. But my thing is, God doesn't grade on a curve, and brothers and sisters, all of us think he does sometimes. We go, you know, Kathy's feeling pretty good. She says, when I look at Ray Owens, I feel pretty good about myself. Have you ever noticed, though, we don't pick anybody good? We look down the street at that neighbor that's a jerk, and all of you have one. Neighbor jerk. Or that other person, you go, I'm better than him. It's all good. But we're not looking at Jesus. Boy, that's the standard, right? We're not looking at Jesus because then I think we get down on our knees and then maybe we're washing feet and honored to even be able to touch the feet of Jesus. Wow, what a difference. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory. How many of you know that all means the person next to you? Raise your hand. Yeah, sure, it's that person next to you. Now, this is really deep. How many of you know all means you? Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm not here to condemn. We're going to get off of this. But I do want to say that the Pharisee just didn't get that he was a sinner separated from God and who he was in the presence of. There wasn't worship going up. I'm going to maybe preach a message on this if the Lord gives me an opportunity here in Isaiah, but I have it on your outline there, I think. Yeah, in Isaiah 6, good stuff. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on the lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And then I skip down. Then I said, my destruction is sealed. Man, he saw God. He's doomed. For I am a sinful man and a member of a sinful race, yet I've seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. And that's worship. When you see God high and lifted up and you see who he is, you're in awe and you fall before your knees. And then you add, that God says, raise up your face. I love you, son. You're mine. That's got to be something that excites us. Do you get that? unbelievable. Yes, it's unbelievable, and the only way you can believe it is by faith. It is impossible to see it visually, impossible to understand it totally, cognitively at the level, but it is only through faith that we see that. Awesome, holy God loves you and is absolutely crazy about you. Fourth point is that. Let your heart be melted. Oh, you women are going to like that. Oh. Let your heart be melted by the absurdity of God's love for you. It's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. When you do see yourself and you compare him to, you know, God's character, it don't feel good. It's like, oh my goodness. You feel just like Isaiah and many, many others through the Bible. But God is heads over heel in love with you, and it should boggle our minds and all that. But what brokenness. This woman saw the grace. We were blessed to hear Amazing Grace. Beautiful job this morning. And the grace that was in the eyes of Jesus was only overwhelmed when she looked up and saw the love that Jesus had for her. And you know what? Jesus even had love for the Pharisees. But notice, two people can be in the same sermon. Two people can be in the same worship service. Two people can be in the same room and have totally different experiences, can't they? One chose to humble themselves and see. One had all the cognitive reasons not to see. Wow. There's a story I want to give you as we close, and then there's a couple scriptures there we have on our outline. Michael Wisner was a rabbi, and he moved to Lincoln, Nebraska. The family began receiving death threats and all kinds of stuff from the neo-Nazis, KKK, all these groups. And a man named Larry Trapp, who had been the Grand Dragon of the KKK and also a neo-Nazi, he was always writing letters to the editor full of hate. Y'all remember letters to the editor? I don't know if you remember that. It used to be a piece of paper we got that they rolled up, and it had, you know, letters to the editor. It was called the New Star World. One day, he'd heard Larry Trapp, a little bit about him, the rabbi, that he was clinically blind, a double amputee, very much a messed up, hurting person. Stop. Hurting people hurt people. You got it? It's just, if you ever run into somebody that's cocky and mean, I want to give you a point, especially young people. You run into jerks at school, you run into people that just seem so cocky and mean, they are hurting, miserable inside, have low self-esteem, and they cut others down to build themselves up. They're actually the opposite of what they portray. And that's exactly what was going on here. So you know what the rabbi did? The rabbi called him 10 times every day and left a message. He never would answer it. On the 11th day, Larry Tripp answered the phone, and the first thing out of his mouth, this neo-Nazi, going to kill them all, tear them up, guess the first thing out of his mouth, I wrote this in, "Why are you harassing me?" That ought to make you laugh. In other words, he was a wimp, hurting, messed up. And this rabbi reached out to him, and he said, I want to reach out to you. I'd like to talk to you. And he kept talking to him, and then finally invited him over to eat with his family. And it changed his life, so the newspaper interviewed him, and he says, all the stuff that he said, I was not prepared for one thing, love and acceptance. Now, is it absurd that a rabbi would show love to a neo-Nazi that threatened his family? Absolutely. But let me tell you, it's absurd that a holy God would love you and I like he loves us. It's absurd, right? Praise God, it's amazing. There's a couple scriptures there on your outline. Once we, too, were foolish and disobedient. We were misled by others and became slaves to many wicked desires and evil pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy. We hated others and they hated us. But then God, our Savior, showed his love and kindness to us. In other words, transformed. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated, not just saying it, demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, jerks, idiots, morons, put whatever you want to be there, just plain bad or cocky, think we know it all, Christ died for us. Yes, the prostitute experienced absurdity of God's love for her. When's the last time you experienced it? On your outline there, there's three lines. Three lines. And room maybe for a fourth if you're like me. I would, at the bottom of your outline, said bask in God's love for you and lavish your love on him. I'd like you to take this outline home with you. Fold it on the back, some people to pray for. But on the front is are these notes. You can kind of look through these scriptures. You can read them. But I'd like you to consider setting aside a time this afternoon, tonight, or during the week, and husbands and wives, like if one of you is having a rough day, the other one has my permission to say, honey, go look at the outline and go back down there. And where that blank is, I'd like to challenge you to consider writing a love note to God to thank him for his amazing love for you and me. The next thing I would like to close with saying, come every week to the worship service with God. No matter what's on our mind and out there and man, it's there and while we're sitting here, I got that. But at some point every service, if the preacher gets so weird off and left field, tune him out and tune in on God. And just tell him, God, I'm here to worship you. I want to love you. So let's say it is the worst singing, the worst sermon ever, and that won't happen here because you got Carmen. It's all good. I'm just saying, what if it really is bad, but you came here and you and I worshiped God and said, God, we love you. We're gathered together because I know you're here. You tell us to forsake not. I'm here. And you leave. Is that bad? No, even if it was a terrible experience, you worshiped God. You told God you loved him. Isn't that awesome? Now, can you do that at home? Absolutely. Can you do it when you're looking for 10 minutes at Grand Canyon? Yeah, you can do it. You can do it anywhere. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like being among the family of God and worshiping him in spirit and truth. We're going to sing a song. The worship team's going to come up and lead us. And I think it's an opportunity for us to commit to him, our love for him. When's the last time you had a, oh, God, moment? Let's pray. Father, it's been a pleasure to meet with you, to know that you're here, to share the words you laid on my heart, for us to experience you, be challenged by you, be encouraged by you. Oh God, in these next few moments and throughout this week, may we feel your love for us. May we be moved toward really the absurdity of your love for us. And may it encourage us and give us strength and power to be your witnesses and to know that we are your child. And we're even your friend, Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen.
Let's stand, if you're able, and sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me.
He gave his
Thank you for that sermon this morning, for God's love for each of us. We're glad to have each of you here today, the ones that's visiting. We want to, you feel welcome, and please come back and visit with us. And we've got a council meeting for the ones that's on council today at 2:00. And don't forget, next Saturday night, to set your clocks up 1 hour. So don't wait till Sunday morning. You're going to be off key. Anyway, good to have each of you here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the love that you have for each of us, Lord. And sometimes it's hard to understand how great your love is. Just help us, Lord, to try to love other people as we go through our next week. Help us to share your love with them. Again, thank you for this day and for loving us, the blessings you give to each of us. And we ask this in your name. Amen.